Am I on? There we go. All right. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto
you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them,
and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, I will extol you, my God and King. Every day I will bless you. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds,
and I will declare your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness,
and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
Glory be to the Father. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the protector of all who trust in you, strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, beginning with verse 8. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things.
To him be glory forever. Amen.
The epistle reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us join in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." The gospel lesson for this morning speaks of that one incident that we may recall from after the feeding of the 4,000. Jesus, we are told, pretty much makes his disciples get in the boat to go to the other side. It's an interesting picture that St. Mark gives us in this event and the things that take place. And part of it, if we think about it, we can truly apply to many things that happen to us as well in life. There are times that God calls us to do something, and perhaps when we go to do it, we may think, well, everything's going to go great because, after all, God is on my side and he has sent me to do this. And this may be whatever you know that God has put on you to do. And it may involve your work. It may involve your family life. It may involve your relationship with other people, your friendships, your acquaintances. It may involve any number of things. But you know what I'm talking about. You know the times that when you look back on something, you see God's hand in it and how God moves you and directs you. Well, we believe that God is always with us and that God does indeed always direct us. But there are certain times that we just, I mean, it's just like the sunlight. It's so bright when you look back on it that you can't deny God's hand. And yet when we look at the events as they were unfolding at that moment in time, perhaps it didn't seem so bright a light. No. Sometimes we think we are in the midst of darkness. We think we are alone. We think perhaps God doesn't care that he has sent me into this place or this situation. We have Jesus doing this very thing, though, with his disciples. He sends them out, and in his foreknowledge, he knows what is going to take place for them. And perhaps that is why he sends them out alone. And he sends them out when it is still daylight. He tells them to go ahead. He doesn't tell them how he's going to get there, but he tells them to go ahead in the boat while he dismisses the crowd. And by the time he's done, evening has come, and he goes up on the mountainside to pray. And as he's up there, he looks and he sees the disciples out in the lake having a problem getting a short distance to Bethesda. And they're having a problem because the waves are fighting them. The sea has become treacherous. And they have not made very good progress because their boat keeps getting put off course. So Jesus goes. But it's interesting. Mark tells us it's not like he's going to them, though. It's as though he's going on to Bethesda as he walks across the sea. We are told that by Mark. He says he meant to pass by them, is what it says, about the fourth watch of the night. That's about 3 a.m. About the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. He meant to go on beyond them. They're having their struggle. They're not even perhaps thinking about anything other than their own survival at this point. They don't see God in the storm. They don't see this happening, but they see Jesus and they mistake him for a ghost. And they become terrified. They are absolutely at their wits' end. This must be a bad omen. We're going to sink. Why else would there be a ghost coming to them? Could it get any worse? Have you ever felt perhaps like that in a situation in your lifetime? Where you felt it just couldn't get any worse? Where is God? And probably you lifted your voice to God and prayed, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. But your answer seems to be only more turmoil, more hardship, more suffering, more pain. Yet it is not God's desire to cause His disciples or any of His people pain and suffering. It is not God's desire that we even die, and yet these things happen in this world. But for the disciples and for us, this has been recorded so that we may learn from this story as the disciples themselves learned something about God. Sometimes Christians can be under the mistaken illusion that they've been to Sunday school, they've been through catechism, they know all there is to know about God. There are some Christians perhaps that think, oh yeah, I remember those stories, now I know all there is to know about that incident, I don't need to hear it again. Really? Are you going to talk about that again? Well, yes, because we need to hear it again and again and again. We can't really get too much of God's Word. And we find that in life's journey, that many of these stories take on new meaning to each of us because of the events our Lord leads us through. These words can be applied many and various ways into our own lives to help us for the same reason Jesus sent His disciples out alone. At least they thought they were alone, but the Lord always had His eye on them. And He wasn't going to let anything happen to them that would take their lives. He comes to them and He speaks with calm and concern and love. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. And as He steps into the boat, the seas become calm. They become calm. Mark tells us that the disciples were astounded, but they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. How interesting Mark brings up the feeding again. They did not understand the loaves. Another way of saying, perhaps, they did not understand Jesus and what He is capable of. That He is the Son of God, the bread of life that comes down from heaven and feeds us all and satisfies our hungry souls. They did not understand. Sometimes we fail to understand too, but the events that take place are for their benefit and ours. The story is ours. The incident was theirs. And their faith, we could say, would be increased. Many of the things we go through, it is so that we are strengthened in our faith and trust in God. It is so that we always remember that in the midst of things that seem like it's chaos, there is our God. And He stands firm. and you and I stand on Him. Our faith is firm. Our faith is solid. We know that. We know that there is no other place we can go in any times of our lives than straight to the arms of Jesus. We know that in Him we can rejoice and be glad. In Him we know we can fear and be comforted. In Him we can grow. The disciples need growing, and so do we all the time. It is interesting also that St. Paul knows the importance of reminding Christians of their place with God. St. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, tells them things that they already know. And that's good. Because we need that kind of reinforcement in our lives. We need to always be reminded by one another of God's goodness and how God has blessed us. We need prayers from one another for the very same thing St. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, even though they already had these things. Why is it important that St. Paul tell them these things? Because he wants them to know they are not alone in their struggle in Ephesians. That they are not alone as Christians without other believers knowing their concerns and their needs. Not only St. Paul is praying for them, but the other apostles and other Christians throughout the region know what is needed in Ephesus. And they pray. They pray for spiritual needs. They pray that they are lifted up, that they always remember what they have in Christ Jesus. It's important that we hear the stories time and time again. It's important so that our faith is shaped and we are strengthened. Because we don't know what the future holds for us. The disciples didn't know what the future held for them when they crossed the sea. Perhaps they thought it would be just a quick journey, a quick trip across the lake. They would get there and they would maybe make preparations for when Jesus got there. But the plans that we make can oftentimes be disrupted. Sometimes in minor ways and in other times in greater ways and in horrific ways, our plans can go awry. But in all of this, we are to know that God has not left the building. God is with us. God is in you, and He remains in you until Christ returns again. As long as you are in Him, He is in you. And He brought you into Himself at your baptism. You were sealed. You were made His child. You were of great worth. And even sometimes when we think God doesn't take notice, oh, don't think that at all. He always has His eyes on you to take care of you, to call you back when you start to wander, to refresh you when you feel beaten down, to bring healing to your body and your heart, to your soul. He is our Father, and He loves us with a great love. St. Paul said that love, we really can't understand its fullness. But one day we will see our Lord Jesus face to face, and we will hear Him say to each one of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not because of the work you have done, but because of your faith that clings to Him. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated.
And thanksgiving, Father, we offer for all things living, created good. Harvest of sown fields, fruits of the orchard. From the mown field, blossom and wood. As this, Lord, the labor we bring to serve you, that with our labor we may be fed. Sowing and tilling, we would work with you. Harvesting, milling, for daily bread. Father, providing food for your children, by your wise guiding, teach us to share. One with another, so that rejoicing with us all others may know your care.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In great praise to Him who rules earth, sea, and sky, and in thanksgiving for the blessings of creation and life that come from His abundant goodness, that God would give us boldness to speak of His awesome deeds and sing always of His righteousness, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, that our Lord, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, would be glorified in His church and in Christ Jesus, and that He would ground us in love, give us a faith rooted in Christ's promises, and strengthen us to comprehend with all the saints His love that surpasses knowledge. Let us pray to the Lord. To the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would bless our families even as He blessed Noah, bringing forth new life under His promises. For all marriages, that He would make them strong and fruitful according to His will. And for every home, that God's word would rule there, uniting it in forgiveness and causing Christ to dwell in every heart through faith. Let us pray to the Lord. For our country, that the Lord of might would spare us and future generations from wickedness. For our leaders, that by God's blessing they would rule according to His good pleasure. And for God's protection over our armed forces, police, and all public servants, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and those in need, for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Johnny Reuther, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Sue and Dean Soberly, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Habman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Roche, and Robert and Donna Knopf. That God would give healing and protection, encouraging them in this life by the recognition of His fatherly providence, known through Christ our Savior. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune, that God would not allow our hearts to become hardened by indifference or any frustration in this world, but that He would lead us to His blessed sacrament with repentance and faith, to receive there the forgiveness of sins and the confidence according to Christ's New Testament. Let us pray to the Lord. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of Him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood in the New Testament shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace and joy. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We join singing hymn 849.
Rock star.
Yeah.
You know. Want to wish a happy birthday to Sheila Kearns on the 27th, and happy anniversary to Peggy and Ray. Are you back there? And also to Tristan and Ashley Gonzalez on July the 29th. Invite everybody back for refreshments and fellowship in the fellowship hall. And after that, we'll be having our voters meeting. Would there be any other announcements?
Tim, are you going to have it in the fellowship hall, or are you going to come back in here?
Yeah, it's going to be in the fellowship hall. Okay. Have a blessed week.